Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, beautiful listeners. I am love. I am loving. I am lovable. And so are you. This is Jude Albright, your host, and I welcome you to Love Your Addiction. Yeah, I did say love your addiction. So for those of you who are saying, what is she nuts? Most people certainly don't love their addictions. Rather, they fight them. They feel powerless over them. They become sad at their effects, and they struggle to release them. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now remember who you really are, and that is pure magnificence. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, who you are denying yourself and the world? I'm here today to offer you another possibility. What if you could see addictions through different eyes, loving eyes, your eyes? Because as I said earlier, you are love. You are loving, and you are lovable. That I know for fact. Many of us have forgotten that we are love, that we were created by a loving creator. And I'm going to call that Father, Mother, Creator, God. But there are many names for it, like Source, Supreme Being, All That Is, Universe, Higher Power, and it really doesn't matter what we call it. Many have also forgotten that we are creators also. Why have we created addictions? Well, ask yourself, why not? Here in this third dimensional world, we've chosen to learn to experience life through polarities, like hot and cold, night and day, male and female. I personally believe we are all looking for love mainly because of our loss of connection to our God. Often we look for this love from our families and we don't get it, because they can't give what they don't have. And this leaves a mark on us as children. And we think there's something wrong with us. I know there's nothing wrong with any of us. We're not here to tackle our feelings of inadequacy alone by ourselves. In fact, we're all sons and daughters of a benevolent creator. We need each other for support. My intention is that you open your hearts wide open, and accept that you are good enough, important enough, smart enough, and beautiful enough to live the life of your dreams. And I really don't think anyone has dreamed of becoming an addict. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now remember who you really are. Therefore, today we are going to be looking at how do we take responsibility for our behaviors? That's a question that many people in addiction recovery don't know the answer to, and they are searching for for that answer. Because in addictions, we tend to blame others for our problems. We refuse to say that we're the ones responsible for our own issues. So today we're going to be looking at various examples of being responsible and other examples of irresponsibility, such as blaming. Are you ready to share your personal experiences with us? We'd enjoy your input and your help. So, how do we take responsibility for our actions? The answer is quite simple. We accept the fact that we are creators. If you have specific questions or comments, please call us at 516-453-9181, and I'll address them. The chat room is disabled and not available today. So again, please call in with questions and insights at 516-453-9181. We're all in this together, and I'm sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life, just like I do. So let's get each other there. Well, how do we take responsibility for our actions? And what does responsibility have to do with addictions? It has a lot to do with addictions, because when we are actively involved in our addictions, we are being irresponsible. Instead of nurturing ourselves, we are draining ourselves. We're not victims. We're creators. Our experiences are the result of our feelings and thoughts, which equal our beliefs. And this means that we're responsible for those beliefs. And if they don't serve us, we're also responsible for changing them and uncreating them. What if our beliefs, both conscious and unconscious, drive our lives? What if they are the oil needed in our cars to lubricate the car so the engine performs properly? And by the way, we need to change that oil every several thousand miles for the car to run correctly. Plus, there are different qualities, different grades of oil, too. So just how do we lubricate our lives? I'm going to present a variety of examples without judgment. Please do not judge anything that I share, any experience that I talk about. Please do not judge it with blame or shame. Our beliefs, as I said, drive our experiences. No one is driving our car but us. I'm wondering, are you driving from the front driver's seat, or are you driving from the back? It would make a difference, you know. Our souls want us to learn love, love of self and others. How does this happen? Well, our beliefs show our underlying, our behaviors show our underlying beliefs. And we are the ones responsible for those beliefs. Okay, this is a true story from a 35-year-old woman client of mine. And she also is in recovery, was in recovery. And her belief was, all men ever want is sex. They can't be trusted for anything else. Well, let's look at her background. She was brought in up in a home with very macho men. And so her childhood unconscious programming accepted the belief of macho men, who also believe that men are created for sex and women are created to give it to them. This woman was sexually abused by an uncle and a brothers from the age of 5 till about the age of 15. As an adult, she was date raped. And when I was seeing her, she was married to a man who was sexually abusive. She couldn't understand why she was not important enough to be valued and loved. Now, did I find that out in the very first session? No, absolutely not. But as she started looking at her own issues that were the underlying issues for her addiction, she realized that her childhood programming unconsciously taught her that all men ever want is sex. Now, could that be true about some men? Absolutely. Is it true about all men? I would be very careful to say all with anything. When she realized that that was her belief system, and that belief system had driven her life, had brought sexual abuse to her, had brought date rape to her, and had brought a sexually abusive marriage to her, she was quick to say, "Ooh, I want out of this." And that's called being responsible. Now, when I'm talking about being responsible, I am not talking about the parent who says, you need to clean your room, and you know on Mondays you take out the trash. Let me give you another example of a belief. Again, an unconscious childhood belief. And usually, we are not aware of those childhood unconscious beliefs that we are taking in when we are children. We need to have an issue come up that we're able to address and take responsibility for, and then things change. Here is another belief by a client, a man who is in his 70s, and his belief is, women can never be there for me. Now, as a child, this man, when he was 6 or 7 years old, had a brain tumor. Now, that was many years ago because he's in his 70s, and at that time, the treatment was radiation treatment, and he was kept in the hospital for almost a year. Now, he really loved his mother, but she couldn't be there all the time. There were times when she had to be at work to support them and pay for hospital bills. So, you can easily see how that childhood unconscious belief turned into the belief that I'm not important enough. Women can't be there for me. Now, how did he play it out? Well, he played it out through an alcohol addiction, but he also played it out by being divorced 5 times. And in each one of those times, he was looking for a mother to meet his needs, not for an equal partner. Did he want to be responsible for that belief? No. At first, He wanted to blame his mother because she wasn't there for him all the time. But as the adult, he learned to process she couldn't be there for all the time because she had things that she had to do. Okay, so I've given you two beliefs that stem from, that produced irresponsibility until the people looked at them. The beautiful thing is we create a belief and we can uncreate it. Here's one more negative belief. And this man, he realized that his main underlying belief with his addiction was, there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. Now, we're all good enough. There's nothing wrong with any of us. But as a child, he used to rock his bed at night. And his drunken dad would come in with his drunken buddies, and dad would take his buddies upstairs to his son's room, and they would watch him and giggle as he rocked the bed. Whoa! Can you believe that? No wonder this person thought that he was not good enough, that he had feelings of inferiority. And did his drinking and drugging help to solve those? No, they didn't solve those problems, but they certainly sedated the problems. And that's what addictions do for us. So in the three examples that I just gave you, at first nobody felt responsible for creating those beliefs. And once I worked with them, they realized that self-medicating with addictions was their way of trying to control pain from the events that happened to them. Okay. Now, let's look at the fact that somebody could really be responsible. This is the story of a woman in her 40s who grew up knowing she was important, grew up knowing she was loved, grew up having parents that supported her in all ways. Now, was she a client of mine for addiction recovery? Absolutely not. Because in her brilliance of knowing that she was wonderful and that she could do anything that she wanted in this life, because that's what her parents told her and supported in her, she didn't need addictions. She looked at addictions as poison. She also looked at, why would anyone do that to themselves? And that's what a lot of parents of addicts say, or loved ones of addicts. They say, why does he or she do that to himself or herself? Well, maybe I've given you a little bit more understanding of responsibility and what it has to do with addictions. And I'm going to read a quote to you from A Course in Love by Mari Perrone. And that quote is, when you become aware of the personal self as a representation, you become aware of the self whom the personal self is representing. So it's about awareness and understanding. And when we become aware and we understand the childhood unconscious programming affects our adult lives, we change if we're willing. Why would anyone withhold themselves from love? I'm wondering, how are you loving you? Because when you withhold, you can't receive. You can't receive a piece of heaven. And you deserve heaven here on earth. It's not a death thing. It's a here on earth thing. So instead of draining ourselves with addictions, which cause our energy vibration to vibrate at 100 or lower, when we change and we accept responsibility, we can vibrate at higher vibrations at 350, 400, 500. And those vibrations that I quoted can be found in David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force. Addictions are an attempt to control things, to control and stop our feelings. The interesting thing is, when we really allow ourselves to go into underlying feelings and thoughts and beliefs, it's truly easy to release addictive behaviors. So I'm going to ask you again, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? And you can find out more answers at my website on beingrecovered.net, beingrecovered.net. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Asking yourself questions is one of the easiest ways to receive the answers that you might be looking for. Those answers may not come immediately, and they may show up in strange ways, but they will come. So here are some possible questions for you to ask yourself. What if you started believing that you are important enough, good enough, beautiful enough, and smart enough? That one might change your life a bit, you think? Here's another question. Everything that you have done to make you wrong, will you now uncreate that? Everything that you feel you've done wrong. Please step into the love that you truly are and become responsible for that love. Also, remind yourself to stay wrapped in that love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you, the one who is good enough, smart enough, beautiful enough to be valued and to be loved. So being responsible boils down to allowing ourselves to look at our unconscious beliefs. And you know, we wear those unconscious beliefs on our sleeves. The way we act, the way we treat others, the way we talk to others, all of that is a reflection of who we think we are based on what we came to believe as a young person, as a child. Unless we consciously reprogram those beliefs. And those beliefs can be, those beliefs definitely, definitely can be reprogrammed. With that, I send you loads of love. Bye for now. This is Jude Albright. Stay beautiful.